the book of Isaiah for quite some time. The book of Isaiah is a prophecy about 400 years before Jesus was born. There you go. Takes three. It was a time, a prophecy that spoke so much about the restoration of Israel and what God was wanting to do in that place. But for me, it just speaks so much about what God says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. It says, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame." I believe that there's somebody here that verse actually has been what's happening. I'm not saying mocking and spitting, but I believe that for somebody here that verse is so important that you need to hear that. In verse 7, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and that I know I will not be put to shame. I believe for somebody, God, that there is situations that are coming against you, and it's like words that have been spoken very negatively over you at this time. And I just believe God saying, no, because the sovereign Lord helps you, he's not going to let you be disgraced in any way, shape or form. Yeah. And because you have chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to set him and set your face like flint, according to the word, he will ensure that you're not put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the darkness, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourself with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you all shall receive from my hand. And those who are against you will lie down in torment. But then it goes on, all of these, Isaiah 51, 52, 53. And then in 54, Isaiah 54, it says, "Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame." Again, this is, again, for me, God is saying some things about a number of you here, that as you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be put to shame. "Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young, only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but the deep compassion, and obviously he's talking about children of Israel here. I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. And then it goes on a little bit more. But then it comes to Isaiah 55. And it says in verse, I mean, it's all good. But verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountainside and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. And then going back to Isaiah 54, verse 16, says, see, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame, and forges a weapon fit for its work. Father, I just thank you that your word speaks today as it always has done. Father, I just pray for any one of us that is going through a time at this moment where there's lots of abuse coming our way, a lot of negative that is being spoken to us, about us. And Father, we just have that sense, oh Lord, that we're in a real battle. Father, I just ask you that you will remind each and every one of us who you are. Father, you are God Almighty, and you have said in your word that you will not put any one of us to shame. Father, you call us to be a people who listen day by day to what you're asking of us. And as we set our faces like flint, as we set our faces upon you, as we seek you, Father, Lord, I thank you. Oh, Lord, that you say that you will vindicate. You say that you will look after. You will help us through each and every situation. And so, Father, I ask you today that for anyone who might be thinking of, oh, it's too hard, it's too much, Father, I just ask you that you will come and meet with them today. That you will encounter them, you will encourage them, you will help them to again see who you are. Yeah. And Father, because of who you are, Lord, I thank you that they will not be put to shame. Amen. So Father, I just ask you that you will speak to them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I know this is not for this word was not for you, Sarah, but I just really believe God is wanting to say something. One of the things that he said in that scripture was that when something is spoken, it's not going to return void. And I just believe God saying compassionate over you, that there is a compassion that you, in a sense, you're going to get God's heart of compassion in a fresh and new way. And because of that heart of compassion that God's going to reveal to you his compassion for you, that means that that compassion will reach out into every single situation that he takes you into. And because you have his heart of compassion, then every person that you meet, every person you see, every difficult situation that he is going to send you into, because actually that's, I believe, is going to happen, is that you're going to go into some difficult situations. But because you carry God's heart of compassion, what he speaks through you will not return void. It will be as he dictates, as he reveals to you, so it will be. So, Father, I just ask you that that word compassionate, Father, Lord, that you will unfold what that looks like in the situations that you take Sarah. And Father, Lord, that as you reveal your heart of compassion for people, Lord, that that will work it in Sarah. Father, Lord, where in those situations you take her into, Father, it will be just like another passage in Isaiah. In Isaiah 49, I think it is, regarding a tip of the arrow. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. I just believe, Sarah, that he's going to, in a sense, sharpen that tip, that quiver, and then he's going to place you in his quiver so that when it's right, he'll bring you out for that purpose that he is sending you into those situations for. Father, I just ask you that you will cement that word. Because, Father, Lord, it's not going to return void. God may bring other things out, but I believe that God wants you to understand that as we walk forward in his plans and purposes, we stay close to what he is asking of us to do, then it's like we are going to be a tip that is going to be a sharp tip. I don't know if you've ever played darts with a blunt dart. And it's like you really have to throw it really hard to get it stuck in the board. Whereas if it's sharp and new, you just have to throw it and get the bullseye every time, like I do. Don't. But, you know, when we're sharp, it's just like, you know, all of us have probably had cooking when we're cooking. And, you know, we have a knife that is a little bit blunted. And we're trying to cut through meat or we're trying to prepare some food. And it just doesn't work properly. I had a saw and I was not that I saw meat. But I had a saw and I don't often use the saw. But it was blunt and it was hard work. And then a friend of mine just came, a gentleman called John Hutchinson, some of you know. And John Hutchinson just sort of said, you're using a blunt instrument. And so he said, I will go and buy you a new saw. He brought me a new saw, not a 99p one, but a good saw. And suddenly the job that I was doing became so much easier, yeah, as a result of having the right instrument, sharp instrument, to do the right thing. It's exactly the same as cooking. If you've got the right implement in a as a master chef that I am, beans on toast with an egg on top. One of those things, that's nice actually, the egg on top, and cheese, of course. But one of the things that you realise that in the kitchen, if you have the sharpness of an instrument, it makes the job a lot easier. God is wanting for us, each one of us, you, me, every single person in this church, the Church of Jesus Christ in Modena, in London, he wants us to be sharp. And I believe that this year, God is sharpening his church. I was at a leaders event on Friday, and one of the things that the whole theme of this music conference was surrender. That was the title of this whole conference. And, you know, the speaker on Friday just brought a couple of little points. One was about Saul, when he became Paul, when on the road to Damascus, Saul was very zealous. He was probably the champion of the Pharisaical law. And so therefore, he was very, very determined. He was very focused. He thought he was doing absolutely what was right according to the old law. And when Saul got struck by the light and he fell off his donkey or horse or whatever, he said, "Lord," immediately, "Lord." But he then got transformed into not only a person who was so dedicated to a cause, he, over a period of time, was a surrendered life that was given to the Lord for then God's purposes, not man's purpose. And it's just that whole thing about surrender. And Pastor Colin, remember, brought a word about sowing our lives back in November. And as we sow our lives in the biblical principle of sowing and reaping, then if we sow our lives, then what's going to happen is that there is going to be a harvest of people. Because that is a biblical principle. You sow and you reap what you sow. But this whole thing about surrender and sharpness and God's word not coming and returning void, all of these things, I believe, are part of God's purpose and God's strategy so that we are a people who are ready and being prepared for a work of that God has planned for us to do in these coming months, weeks, years. I know that God has an amazing purpose for all of our lives. And I believe that in Isaiah, you know, in that little passage in Isaiah 54, "See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work." God created each and every one of you in the mother's womb. But he knew that. He purposed that. He knew that you were going to be born in the 20th century, 21st century. And live that out in the 21st century. He knew that. And he's been forging your life over whatever it is, or the youngest person here, Terza, what, three? Two? Two. He's going to be forming her life through Helen and Jack and through each one of us who come into contact with her, because we are going to be her example. Yes, Mum and Dad are the major examples in her life, but we're all included in that because she's watching you. She goes and talks about, "Oh, Mikey, guitar." Yeah, it's quite funny the way that she talks about that, because she's observing different things all of the time. She's watching us. She was in the prayer room when a few of us were praying before the meeting. And, you know, it was just that she would be observing that. Because everything is being formed around her, so that I believe that she becomes what the forger in this blacksmith fans into flames the coals for the forger forges a weapon fit for the work. God has a purpose for her life, and whoever's the oldest here, I'm not looking around. Because each one of us has a purpose, and the blacksmith, if we want to put it in those terms, is forging you and still is forging you, whether you're in your 20s or whether you're in your 50s. God is still forging you for a weapon fit for purpose. That's why we've got to be a people who, as we were reading in Isaiah 50, I think it was 50, wasn't it, that I was reading, regarding, you know, coming to the Lord, that he wants us to have our ears open. He wants us to be there every morning listening to his voice, being prepared for the action that he wants for each and every day. Why? Because he wants us to be fit for the work that he's asking us to do. And praise God, just like a knife that gets blunt, you can sharpen it. And that's why, you know, and it's a testimony of mine that sometimes I've got blunt. Over a period of time, it's not deliberate sometimes. It's not that suddenly I go and, you know, use a knife on the wrong thing. But sometimes in time and in situations, your life can get blunted. You can become something where you're speaking a word, but it doesn't then hit home because it comes out harshly. It's not with love. It's not done with the word of the Lord. And therefore it comes out in a wrong way. And therefore it's received in the wrong way. Whereas when we're in a situation where we allow God to bring that sharpness about in our life, then it's like the Holy Spirit just cuts through every object, cuts through every single situation. And yes, it divides soul and spirit. So it divides what is fleshly, what is what I want to do rather than what he wants to do. But because it's a sharp instrument fit for the purpose that it's designed for, it's then used by God to do the work that he's planned for you on that moment in time. Whether that's, you know, to witness to your neighbor, whether that's to do a act of kindness in a situation. All of these things are times, things that God wants us to do because we're glorifying God in all of these actions. But it's because God wants us to be fit for the purpose that he has for us. That's why we need to be a people of prayer. And over these last 3 weeks, we've been talking about prayer a lot. Why? Because it's so, so important as we move forward that we as individuals are a people of prayer. And obviously we want to get to a situation where we can come together to pray in a corporate way as well, so that we can speak the words of God, so that we can then see the word that God sends will not then return void. I'm longing to see my prayers more effective. And I believe that God, over a period of time, gives people strategies. And I know that some of you probably have a prayer strategy already. Sometimes I've had things, I've been disciplined in the past in my prayer in different ways. And I've been very careful how I prayed when I prayed. And I still have a disciplined life in that sense. But there is things that sometimes God wants to sharpen up. And, you know, one of the things that God's been speaking to me about in actually my journal, and I could read it to you. But, you know, we are living in times where God wants the believer to be sharp in everything that we say and do. We know that we have a situation at this moment in time with things like Brexit. We have a new president in the United States. In Italy, we have quite a lot of earthquakes that are going on at this moment in time, and it just seems like one situation after another in the middle of Italy where things, the plates are coming together and it's causing loss of life. There are things that are going on in the world that I believe God wants us as Christians to not ignore, but also not to be like the world and speak negatively over each one of these situations. Yeah. I know that, you know, certain things and certain people there, with Obama, the president of the United States, it would be so easy for us to take what the press are saying about the situations, and we could get very negative, and we could then pray negatively about him, Trump, Donald Trump, the situations that are around that there. I believe we've got to make sure that we're praying in line with the word of God. Yeah. And it says actually pray for our leaders. Whether you know, we have May, you know, who, Theresa May, she's our prime minister. And it talks in Romans about praying for your leaders. We have in Labour Party, we have a gentleman that I personally couldn't vote for. But it doesn't, it means that, you know, doesn't mean that I can be negative about that person. I need to be praying for that person that God will give him wisdom, understanding, so that he, in opposition in the government in the United Kingdom, that he does that in a right and righteous way. You might support Labour, you might be Conservative, you might be Liberal, you might be Green. I couldn't care less. But what I want to do as a believer is to be praying for these people within government who are making some real decisions concerning not only the UK, but concerning the wider field. Theresa May in Turkey. There's this $100 million contract that she's done with the BEA. No, not BEA. BA. AE. That's the right word. I got BEA. BAE. And again, I've heard different things from people who are living in that region of Turkey, how they see that that particular nation is quite dangerous. And so all I'm saying is that I believe God wants us to begin to strategize and target prayer in a different way than I have done before, because he wants, like I said 2 weeks ago, he wants to see different things happen as a result of my prayer. So God has actually given me a little bit of a strategy for me. And I'm just going to share that a little bit, because I want you to understand that sometimes God will put something around you to help you to get things started. Now, please, my prayer time is mostly to listen to what God says to me. Okay, it always has been. That's why I have a journal that I write down what God's saying, because I think it's far more important that I'm listening to what he has to say to me than I am going with my list of prayer requests to him. However, this morning, God, and it is this morning, God sort of said, actually, I want you to start to get a little bit more disciplined. And that was the word he used, in your prayer time. And one of the things that he said, okay, on Mondays, I want you to be praying for your family. So I've written it down. Helena, Amy, I need a lot of prayer for Helena. Helena, Amy, Mary. And then the wider family, my personal family. But then on Tuesday, he said, I need to pray for you. And he basically said that I want you to be praying for people by name. I don't want you just to be sort of saying, oh, God bless Kingdom Faith Church London. But God has said that he wants me to begin to pray. And I'm pleased, I do this already. But he wants me to be more targeted in my approach in this prayer room. And this is my war room, okay? And so on Tuesday, that's what he told me to do. Now, please, if God suddenly breaks in and wants to change things, he's more than welcome to do that. I'm not saying this is law for me. And I don't believe God's talking about law for me. But I do believe God is saying that he wants us to understand that prayer is effective. And if we're going to be like a sharpened arrow in the quiver, if we're going to be a people who are speaking the words of God so that actually they're not then returning void, we then need to be a people who are praying, in a sense, in an effective way. And please, I'm not saying you're not. I'm saying this is for me, and I'm just saying take what you want from this. And I'm just going to go because I've just forgotten what Wednesday was. But this is my book. This is what God speaks to me in. Wednesday. Obviously, Tuesday I'm praying for you. But on Wednesday, God sort of said, I want you to begin to pray for the mission and the purpose of the church. Because we all know that we're not here for ourselves, don't we? You know, if we were here for ourselves, we just come here a Sunday and sort of say goodbye and sort of say, oh, we'll see you next week. But we're here to fulfill God's purpose. And we want to, it's great, you know, that John, he goes out weekends with Kirk Erickson. And it's great that he goes out on the streets and feeds some of the homeless. And, you know, we Helen and I are intending to meet up with Kirk to find out a little bit more about what he does. Because I said to a number of people recently, it's like, you know, we're not trying to start something if it's already happening. But we need to have an expression of the life and the body of Christ that is beyond these four walls. And so therefore, we need to be a people who are outward focused. And that's what God told me to begin to pray about on Wednesday, that we begin, or for me, I begin to pray for the missional side of the church, the outreach side of the church. Okay, God, you know, that purpose for each and every one of us. Thursday, he talks about parliament and national issues. This is what God's told me to do. So that there is a little bit more precise. And that maybe that's only for 5 minutes because I've always been listening to God for the last hour or 45 minutes or half an hour, whatever that looks like for you. But you see, I want to be sharp. I don't want to be a blunt instrument in God's hands, but I want to be a person just like in that blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. God has work for every one of us to do. And yes, that may be something like school teacher or you know, nanny. You know, it could be all sorts of different things. Nurse, you know, office, management. It can be all of those things. But there's other things too, because you're not just designed to do that. You're designed to display God's glory. You're designed to display his amazing grace and amazing mercy. You're there to display his splendor. And that's part of your purpose, is to make Jesus known in the environments that he's taking each one of you. So God's told me to pray for parliament and the national issues that are arising. And maybe that will be different. And I believe that will be different virtually every week. But it's important that I'm not being dictated to by the press or what I'm seeing on the news. But I'm meeting with God. I'm listening to what he's asking me to say. And then I'm praying those things. But I'm not going to be praying negatively over Jeremy Corbyn or Theresa May or Boris Johnson or Sadiq Khan. These are the names that in my time with the Lord this morning, these are the names that God brought up that people I need to be praying for, but in a way that he directs me to pray for them. Yeah. Did I want a Muslim mayor? No, I did not. But he has been voted in through a democracy that we are currently living in. It may be flawed democracy. Some people might like proportional representation. But this is where we're living at this moment in time. And, you know, God knew that. And God can work through those systems too. Donald Trump is an elected leader of one of the biggest market, you know, countries in the world. And so therefore, we need to be praying for him because of the influence that he can have or has. You know, the abortion issue, it's amazing what has actually begun with the abortion issue over there. But again, I don't want to just be limited by what I'm hearing. I want to be listen to what the Lord's telling me and then pray accordingly. But one of the things God will not ask me to do is to pray negatively over a person's life. I believe God will open his eyes to see, give them wisdom so that they make wise choices. And then in Isaiah 45, you hear about, you know, Cyrus, a king who worshipped a foreign god. God was still able to use Nebuchadnezzar and other Babylonian kings that God still used, even though they worshipped other things, idols. God still was able to use them. Darius with Daniel. You know, it's amazing what God can do. On Friday, he tells me to pray for Israel and the other international situations. And again, I'm going to be open to what God tells me to pray for in these times. On Saturday, he's told me to pray for the Sunday event. And also other churches and other friends' churches, you know. So, you know, Clive and Jane in Horsham and Crawley and Worthing, the churches there. I have friends who meet in Tottenham. I have friends who meet in Leighton. I have another friend. I do have friends. One in Wales, you know, and you know, another one in that I met this week again in a fresh way with Ruth, when we went to another event, a historical event about the Balfour Declaration. And that's quite interesting, but that's another subject. But one of the things that I met a gentleman there, and he's got a church in Essex. And so I quickly sent a text this morning because I was praying for them. And I just sort of said, be blessed this morning. May God really bless you. I sent one to Pastor Eric. I sent another one last week to a guy in Kent called Dave Barker in Kent. Why? Because I want to see them succeed. I want to see God bring glory in their situations, because at the end of the day, we're in the same business. We're doing the same thing. So that's what God has asked me to do on Saturday and actually on Sunday, to be praying for this event, praying into what he is wanting to do to build his church on the Sunday, not only here, but elsewhere. Now, I believe God can shake all of those things up. And, you know, but God's, I believe, is asking me to strategize a little bit into some of these things. And in strategizing and allowing God to speak to me about these things, I believe that then he will unfold the different things. And I believe as I do this, it will be like I'm allowing God to sharpen me. So that as I'm sharpened, then God can use me, stroke us, in ways that he wants to do that in the future, so that we, as in Isaiah 54, see, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. Are you fit for the work that God has planned for you? That's a question that I think, you know, I have to ask myself. I believe every one of us has to sometimes ask these quite serious questions. Am I fit for the work and the purpose that you have? I'm just reading scripture. But you see, I believe God wants us, every single one of us, to be fit for the work that he's prepared for you as individuals, but also us corporately. and for the Church of Jesus Christ in London and beyond. I love the church in Modena. But you know, sometimes we have to ask questions in the Church of Italy. Are we fit for the purpose that God has designed us for? And it's good to ask those questions, because we then begin to ask the question of ourselves. God, where am I in my relationship with you? And some of the scriptures that I was reading from Isaiah, it was all about that relationship with the Father. And, you know, am I walking righteously with God? Am I doing what he's asking? Am I being obedient to what he's saying? Because if I'm fit for the purpose that he has for me, then I'm open for God to challenge me on these things, so that if I need to be sharpened up a little bit, like the saw, I needed a new saw. But in the kitchen, when we have knives that need to be sharpened, we have the steel blade, don't we? That I find so hard to use. But when you know how to use the knife and the steel blade, you suddenly can get a sharp edge again. Why? Because you're using the right implement to sharpen the right tool. And we have the Word of God to bring a sharpness about in our own lives. Yes, good. That's why we've been very clear that we want you all to be people who are reading the Word every day. That's why we're saying, if you don't have a plan or you struggle having a discipline, then we have these cards where you have something that you can read a day. We have a psalm and another scripture every day that you can read. If you have a plan of your own, that is fine. But what we are saying is that if we're going to be fit for the purpose that God has for you and for me and for us, we've got to be people who allow the Word to sharpen us. We have to be people who are listening to what God is saying. So we need to attune our ear, whether that's morning, noon, in the evening. To me, it doesn't matter. I think you will find that when you try and put it into another part of the day, it becomes a struggle, because other things get pushed into your day. And it just happens that God gets pushed out of your day. And that's why most people say that it's the morning's the best time to meet with God. Why? Because there's nothing interfering with that first fruit in your life, that first half an hour of the day, because you planned it. Yeah. I've sometimes thought, oh, I'm going to pray at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Guess what? Something comes in. A conversation happens, a phone call, it turns to 9:15, 9:30. Oh, I'm too tired. Or I start to pray, but then I tend to try and fall asleep. And oh, 20 minutes later, what was I praying about? Oh, I've fallen asleep. Has it happened to anybody else? That's why sometimes it's right to discipline, and that's why I believe it was right for me to share what God's asked me to do. I'm not saying you guys to do that. You've got to have your own journey with the Lord for yourself. But for me, God is saying, I want you to be a little bit more disciplined. Why? Because he wants us to be a lot more fruitful. I thought what Millie brought 2 weeks ago was great. And regarding the name, she puts she prays at the beginning of the year, and then she targets people to be saved, and that's on her list, and she prays virtually every day for that person. Not always God save him, God save him, God save him, but Father, I thank you for his salvation, because she's prayed that once, as she said, she prayed that once, and then she thanks God for the fruit of that. And that may be a different way that God asks her to pray on every day for that person. But it's targeted. Mikey, you had something when we prayed last week. Could you come and share that now, please? Have you got the mic? It is just something that is good regarding...
Actually, yeah, I wrote it down.
Great.
It was quite brave. Let me just have a look.
Sorry?
Yeah, we were praying, and I felt the Lord say, sorry?
Is that better?
I felt like the Lord said this year is going to be a year of identity for us as a church. For the church, but also for us personally and as individuals, that we will carry and represent an aspect of God that only we can carry in this city. And it's unique and it's tailor-made for us. And we were just praying about a deeper understanding of his love for us. And I think we're praying for a sound as well and songs to come out. Yeah. That would be part of, and also revelation, that would be part of our identity mm-hmm. as Kingdom of Faith in London.
As my wife pointed out, I've gone over time. Did you see that look? But it is about the identity. But you see, that for me is about fit for purpose. A tool fit for the purpose that God's designed it. And if you just want to close your eyes, because sometimes I think some of us sometimes struggle what our identity is. What's our purpose? And I believe that God wants to encourage every single one of us that we are in a place and a situation where God is unfolding that corporately. But I believe that he's doing that individually too. That for each and every one of us, you have been designed by God for a purpose. It's like he's the blacksmith in the Isaiah 54 scripture. And he is forming you into an object, a person fit for purpose. So, Father, I just ask you that you will encourage every single person here this morning. Father, that every one of us has a destiny that you have planned for us individually, but also corporately and as part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Father, I just ask you that you will continue to sharpen us in every single way. So that, Father, we allow you, Holy Spirit, to bring that sharpness in every area of our lives. Father, help us to discern what is of you and what is of our flesh and what is of the enemy. Father, give us that discernment of spirit so that we will know how, oh Lord, to move forward, how to pray, how to be effective and fruitful in our lives individually, but also corporately. So, Father, I just thank you that our identity individually will be sharpened, honed, and there will be a new sound coming out of our mouths as a result. And, Father, corporately, that identity, that purpose, Father, Lord, that you will show us in a clearer way than ever before so that we can be a person and a church that is fit for the design that you've created it to be. So, Father, I just ask you that you'll continue to speak to us. You'll continue to encourage us that for everyone, you have a purpose and you have a destiny. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.